So today I will tell something about what is going on in the world now and what the scriptures have said about this. Because I have said that nothing new can ever happen in this creation. Even after dissolution, when the new creation comes, that also follows a pattern. If you read the Bhagavad Mahaprana, you will know this. That when, after the pralaya, the dissolution, the Brahma, you open that, they are coming.
I opened it.
Brahma got the direction to create. Now, everything is erased. Everything is erased, what you will create, he could not know. And Brahma concentrated on the Lord. Then again the voice said, create the way it was before. But what was before? Dartha Brahma is also not aware. You know what is the pralaya, concept of pralaya, you know? Anyone of you know what is the concept of pralaya? Pralaya means dissolution. Pralaya and Mahapralaya, the great dissolution. And pralaya is the dissolution. During Brahma's day, one day of Brahma is several Chaturjugis. And during Brahma's night, it is called pralaya, dissolution. Brahma's night is no creation. Brahma's day is creation. The present Brahma, his age is 52 years only. And I have said, what is he doing now? Most probably, he has just got up and finished his prayer, meditation, morning chanting. Okay? And perhaps he is taking his breakfast, that's all. Okay? That is his age. Some other time I can tell you how many earthly years is Brahma's 1 minute. I will tell you, will not go there now. So, this is Brahma then got the vision of how it was before. And as per the vision, Brahma will say, oh, there is sky. Brahma will say, oh, let there be sky. Brahma says, there is ocean, oh, let there be ocean, like that. You see, Veda and Bible here are same. Bible also say that. God said, let there be water, there was water, let there be ocean, there was ocean. So, anything that is happening in the present day world, it had happened many a time before. Why we feel it is new? Because it is happening for the first time during our lifetime. For the first time it is happening in our lifetime. That is why we are telling you it is new. And after every 5,000 years, something repeats. Every 100 years, something repeats. Every 12 years, something repeats. 3, 6, 9, 12. Okay? As far as the individual is concerned. Then as far as this earth is concerned, means the human consciousness is concerned, if every 100 years. You see, this year is 2020. You go back to 1920. This similar situation had come. Spanish flu, and people died in millions. You go to 1820, there was the plague. You go to 1720, you go back as far as the recorded history, you will see something of a global dimension has happened. So what is happening is nothing new. But because in our lifetime it is coming first time, it is appearing as if it is huge thing. This is Prakriti's way of restoring the balance. What actually has happened? What is this present problem? Coronavirus. And what is the remedy? No medicine remedy is there. So far no medicine has come. No prevention has come. No vaccination has come now. What is the remedy all over the world? There is only one remedy. What is that? Don't come out of your home. Don't touch anybody. That is the prevention. Don't come out of your home. Be where you are. And then, don't come too close to each other also. Maintain at least 1 meter gap. If we go by the scriptural wisdom, I told that day when explaining the Brahma Tattva, that this universe, not only this earth, this universe, and anything and everything inside this universe, that includes us, that includes our body. Everything in this universe is made up of five elements. The five elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. So, periodically, the nature, Mahaprakriti, tries to restore the equilibrium, the harmony between these five forces, elemental forces. Ethereal element, air element, fire element, water element, and earth element. If they are in right proportion, then there will be harmony. Harmony everywhere. Chaos nowhere. And depending on the Yuga Dharma, every Yuga, every era of consciousness, evolution, has its own permutation combination. What percentage, if we say all the five elements, the sum total of all the five elemental values is 100, then what should be the elemental composition in the Satya Yuga? How much of a ethereal element should be there? How much of a air element should be there? How much of a fire element should be there? What percentage will be the water and earth element? It is decided. Okay? Same is in Trita Yuga, in Dwapara Yuga, in Kali Yuga. Now let us go back to the Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga is the era of truth consciousness. Okay? And we all know that in the era of truth consciousness, the creation first started. And on the earth plane, the normal life on the earth plane for human beings was 100,000 years. 100,000 years. So you make it 1/10 of this 100,000 year. That is how much? 10,000 years. 1/10 of 100,000 is 10,000. So this 10,000 years was considered as childhood days. 10,000 years. Means if your age is 7,842, you are still considered a child. Because the wheel of evolution was moving so slow. It was taking 100,000 years to come to full circle. That was the evolution time when the ethereal element was predominant. And ether, you know, is sound. Okay? And you know the prayer, the praise, appreciation, admiration, adoration, chanting, these are all sound wave. Sound wave. Speech is sound wave. Now look at the origin of the Vedas. The scriptures say Veda had no origin. It was there. Eternal. Veda is eternal. Gods have their origin. But Veda has no origin. Nobody can say when was Veda born. And those who were living in this Satya Yuga, most evolved beings of Satya Yuga, they were called Rishis, the great seers. Rishi, Maharshi, Devarshi, Brahmarshi, they are all Rishis. The highest category was called Brahmarshi. Brahmarshi. The next category was the Devarshi. Next category was the Maharshi. Next category is the Rishi. So Rishi, Maharshi, Devarshi, Brahmarshi. Four type of Rishis. Okay? And in those days, in the beginning of this Satya Yuga time, when Brahmas, Satya Yuga, what is the lifespan of Satya Yuga? You multiply the lifespan of a Kali Yuga into four. Kali Yuga's life is 432,000 years. 432,000 years, Kali Yuga will rule on earth. We have gone only 5,000 years. So first thing is we should do, throw this thought from our mind that Kali Yuga is coming to an end. No, it's just a myth. It's a half knowledge. Kali Yuga is in its infancy. Think of a 5-year-old baby. 5-year-old baby. How much innovation she can do? If you have a 5-year-old child in your house, and if the child is getting a free time, what the child will do, whatever the child feels attracted, he will just pull it, throw it. He knows how to bring it. He does not know how to keep it back. The whole house will be in topsy-turvy state. Because he is not even aware that what he is doing is going to create great trouble for his mother. Something smashing, something throwing, something disfiguring. You understand? A 5-year-old child. So, Kali Yuga is in its this child stage. So what is now happening, what we are experiencing, it is the effect of a Kali who is like a naughty child. So, same thing happens. In Satya Yuga, in the initial stage, until the adolescence phase, Satya Yuga's lifespan is 432,000 into 4. Okay? That means 17 lakh, means 1.7 million years. This is only 432,000. Some of you sitting here, I am not going to tell the name, were also in Satya Yuga. Those who are sitting here, some of you were also on earth in Satya Yuga. Some of you present here were also in Treta Yuga. You did not come in Satya, but you had come in Treta Yuga. Somewhere in Dwapar Yuga also. Some Dwapar Yuga souls are here. And some Kali Yuga souls are also here. In our ashram, we have also some Kali Yuga souls. Means, what is Kali Yuga? The present Kali Yuga is 5,000 years. That means there are some ashramites in our campus. Those who were previously on earth during the last 5,000 years, they have been born again and they have come here. But some of you are very, very ancient soul. You were in Satya Yuga also. And you have again taken a body and come here. Okay, so this long time in Satya Yuga, up to the adolescence phase of Satya Yuga, even the gods and the asuras were in perfect harmony. They weren't fighting with each other. Fighting started in Satya Yuga only when the gods and the asuras, they attained adulthood. Gods and asuras, as per our scripture, they had one father and two mother. Diti and Aditi, these were the mothers, and Kashyapa is the father. So this Rishi Kashyapa had two wives. One is Diti, the other is Aditi. From Diti came Daityas, means those who are dual, Dvaita means dual, and from Aditi comes the non-dual. The non-dual is what? Non-dual is you are always in ekagra state. Dual means you are sometime in ekagra, sometime in non-ekagra. Okay? And then comes another state, that is you are in a distracted state. Sometime going ekagra, sometime in non-ekagra, sometime in dull, sometime in distracted, you understand? Okay. And sometime dull. So these gods and these asuras, because they happen to be from the same father, they all were in the childhood days what the children do. They play together, they eat together, they go together, they quarrel together, they fight together. Understand? That is also symbolically refers to the Kauravas and Pandavas. So, always there will be these two forces. Always. And in the until they become adults, there was no fighting. After they became adult, fighting started. When fight starts, what happens? Harmony is lost. And because it was a Satya Yuga, the era of truth consciousness, those who were on earth, the fight was happening in the heavenly sphere. On earth there was no disharmony. Gods and Asuras were fighting. Human beings were not fighting. Clear? So, earthly beings were not at all perturbed. Because nothing is happening to them. And the seers, those who were on earth, the good people on earth, as you all know, if your sattva is rising, you are having less and less interest on what is happening around you. You becoming more and more witnessing stage. Think of a satya yuga that majority of the good people, they were disinterested in what is happening. Like, why America is in a big problem now? You understand? Because they did not feel anything need to be done. Why Italy is in a big problem? Why this is London is in big problem? Even their prime minister told, I am not going to restrict anything. Life will go as usual. Now the prime minister himself is infected. The king himself is infected. Understand? They behaved like the Satya Yuga people. You understand? Not too much perturbed, not too much worried, not too much fear. Life will go as usual. Why should we be so panic? And these are the sattvic people actually. What was wrong? Actually, they are not to be faulted or to be criticized. Such a thing had never happened during their lifetime. So they had no experiential knowledge. No experiential knowledge. But why India took precaution only when 10 people are infected? Why Modi ji took such a big step? See the difference. I'm explaining, I'm analyzing a global situation through a scriptural eye. Clear? Because you see, Modi ji is leading India, and India is a country of seers. It's a country of seers because Veda was revealed to mankind at this place because there is only one landmass that time. There is no America, no Europe, nothing. There is only one landmass that was called Jambudipa. This is Jambudipa, means everywhere was water, but there was one landmass. That name was Jambudipa. And then due to continental drift, this one landmass got divided into several parts. This is how continents came. And then, due to the rising of the human ambition, not aspiration, rising of the human ambition, that is the Rajasic nature, this continent, which is one vast landmass, got divided into countries. Okay, Asian continent became so many countries. Now again due to this rise of Rajas, one country got divided into so many states. Again, each state got divided into so many districts or counties. These are all Rajas. All Rajas. So, the more the Rajas is, the greater will the division. 50 years before, this place where we are sitting, it's called Thiruvannamalai district. But before 50 years, this was a part of the district called Arcot. Arcot became North Arcot, South Arcot. Then again, it became North Arcot became some district, South Arcot became some district. In our Orissa, we have seen. Originally, we had 13 districts. Now we have 30 districts. What is this? This is not sattva. This is rajas. Rajas creates a division. Sattva creates, brings unification. So, what has happened actually? In Satya Yuga, there is no division. There is only unification, unity. Division was there between gods and asuras. There is no division between the human beings. So, ethereal element was dominant elemental force. And ether, the dharma of ether is sound. And what was the sound that was released in Satya Yuga? You see, all the scriptures, mantras, upanishads, jagyas, homas. And when you come to the individual life plan, you see, no one was telling a lie. No one was cheating anybody. No one was disrespecting a fellow human being. Okay? Everybody knew that Prakriti is the supreme. So, that was the era of the glorification of the motherhood on earth. You understand? A 100-year-old man, when he was talking to a 5-year-old child, how he was speaking? Oh, great Mahatma, may I know what you are doing? For what purpose you are doing? I am not able to understand, oh, great soul. But I see, you are in delight, but while you are in a delight, many trees of my garden is getting uprooted. The plants are crying. Are you able to hear that? Oh, great child. See, and the child will respond with the equal respect. Clear? This was there on earth even up to Lord Rama's time, up to Treta Yuga. So, in Satya Yuga, there was the dominant of ethereal element. Speech was noble speech. Bhadrang karnevi suniyama deva, bhadrang pasyema akhyabherja jatra. Let me listen everything that is soothing, that is truth, that is loving. Bhadrang karne visruniyama deva. Bhadrang pasyem akhyabhir jajatra. Let my eyes see everything noble. This is the Upanishad Shanti Mantra. You understand? And when a man was praying, he was not praying for himself alone. He was praying for himself and for the whole humanity. All the Shanti Mantra meanings are that. Clear? So, why it was happening? Because there is no division. There is no spirit to divide. There is a spirit to keep everything, everyone together. That is Satya Yuga. Now you come to the Treta Yuga. So, ether is the element in Satya Yuga. Darji, everywhere there was truth. Sound was controlling everything. And because it was a truth consciousness, sound was all positive sound. Now compare that state with the present state. Any sound means it is negative. Any sound is negative. If it is not negative, it is rajasic. और इट इज तामसिक. अंडरस्टैंड? नाउ लेट अस गो टू द स्क्रिप्चर. आवर जस्ट प्रीसीडिंग टाइम वाज द्वापर, द आफ्टरनून ऑफ द्वापर. वी आर वेरी फैमिलियर विथ दैट. एंड इन द आफ्टरनून ऑफ द्वापर केम लॉर्ड कृष्ण एंड ऑल्सो केम इज अर्जुन. लॉर्ड कृष्ण एंड अर्जुन, ना यू सी बोथ आर इन द बैटल फील्ड. ओके, ना लुक एट द वाइब्रेशन ऑफ द वर्ड्स दैट बोथ आर यूजिंग टुवर्ड्स ईच अदर. व्हेन अर्जुन इज स्पीकिंग, व्हाट इज द वाइब्रेशन ही इज ट्रांसमिटिंग? You understand? Krishna, how are you talking like that? I'm just converting into Kali Yuga dialogue format. How are you talking like that? How are you telling I will kill my own people? Krishna, how don't you see that we'll dwell in hell? I will be the destroyer of the family and the clan. And you see, Krishna has not uttered a single word even. Krishna has not uttered a single word. Arjuna said, Krishna, take my chariot to the middle of the army and I want to see those who have come to fight with me listening to the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. So first, who is coloring? Arjuna is coloring. The evil-minded sons of Dhritarashtra. And then when he is talking to Krishna, and he knows what he knows. He knows Krishna is, although my chariot is God. He knows it, and he also has experience. Krishna has saved him them from all danger. But this knowing was in the mental plane. So when his knowledge is being challenged, which knowledge? Bookish knowledge. He had no realizational knowledge. His bookish knowledge, his scriptural knowledge, the knowledge he has derived by listening from others. From whom he had listened? He never had listened to any enlightened master. Like Bhagavan Rama listened to great Rishi Vasishtha. Arjuna never has listened to any great Maharshi. He might have listened it from his grandsire Bhishma, or he might have listened it from his teacher Dronacharya. And what these people might have taught him? They must have taught him the conventional ethics and morality values. Because these people are not Brahmagyanis. Bhishma was not a Brahmagyani. Had he been a Brahmagyani, he would have never asked to Krishna, tell me what is that best thing. You understand? Tell me what is that best scripture. Tell me what is the highest path. A Brahmagyani never asked these questions. You understand? So he was a Jnani. But that Jnana came from where? That Jnana came due to his long life on the earth plane. Clear? Now, experiential knowledge without the foundation of scriptural wisdom, that is Bhishma's knowledge. So Arjuna must have listened from him, pay respect to the elders, you understand? Take care of those who are dependent on you. These are all ethics and morality. Clear? Don't kill someone who is not holding a weapon. Don't harm one who is taking shelter on you. Understand? These are nothing big things. We are also told the same things. Don't rob a poor man. You understand? Don't snatch the valuables from a physically handicapped person. We are also looking at it. So what is the great thing that Arjuna learnt which we have not learnt? So, but look at the vibration that is released to the earth's atmosphere between the dialogue of Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna says, how can I believe you? How can I trust you? You are contradicting. You are never correct. You are creating confusion. And if you translate it into Kali Yuga dialogue, this will be the vibration. But look at Krishna. Whenever he is addressing Arjuna, what he is saying? Oh, you the great. Oh, you the lion among the men. Oh, you the sinless. Oh, you the best among the Bharata dynasty. Oh, you my dear devotee. Oh, you my trusted companion. Oh, you the embodiment of me. Can there be a more positive transmission than this? So when someone is using these words and sending the vibration, what is this vibration? This is vibration for unity. Krishna is never differentiating himself from Arjuna. You just see. So, in Satya Yuga, ether was dominant. And in Treta Yuga, air element was dominating. Air element. What was the great battle we hear in Treta Yuga? Battle between Rama and Ravana. Battle between Hanuman and Dasyuraj. The greatest hero of Treta Yuga is who? The greatest warrior? Not Rama. It is Hanuman. Hanuman is the greatest warrior in Treta Yuga, not Rama. You understand? There is a story in the Ramayana that there was an occasion. There was a fight between Ram and Hanuman. Okay? Hanuman first told, I will not fight with my Lord. But Rama told, you have to fight, otherwise you have to release that person whom you have kept. In another day, I will tell that story. Somebody whom Rama was judging, went to take shelter, and Hanuman was in tapasya, and he went there, fell at the feet of Hanuman and told, please save me. And Hanuman is in a deep trance state, like a Swamiji in trance state, hitting the car in the electric pole. Without knowing anything, Hanuman said, okay, I save you, go, enter to my cave. And Rama is judging, and Ram came running. Hanuman, have you seen someone running here? Oh, Lord. Hanuman got up and did the pranam. Yes, Lord, someone has come. But he asked me shelter. I have given him shelter. No, he has taken this precious gem, that money. I must get it. You must leave him. No. Someone who has taken shelter. I have learned from you. How can I throw him out, Lord? No, Hanuman. And Hanuman didn't listen. Rama told, then be prepared to be killed. And Rama, slowly, you see, because Rama is God, Supreme God, but he has descended to the Trigonamayi Prakriti. So, slowly, the Prakriti is taking over, his Rajas is increasing. But Rama is Trigunatita Siva. He is not getting perturbed. And he is seeing that Lord is now accumulating more and more of rajas. But he has to stand by his principle because he has learnt it from his Lord. Rama is Sarana Rakshaka. So Hanuman did not release this, the person who has taken shelter. Rama is ready to now fight. And fight started. Okay? because Rama wanted to fight, that's why Hanuman is responding. And after fighting for some time, and Rama is sending all these superior celestial weapons, and Hanuman simply saying, Jai Sri Ram. And that weapon is falling, broken into pieces. Another says here, Jai Sri Ram. Not a single arrow of Lord Rama could penetrate the aura of Jai Sri Ram. It's good that in Navaratri time we are discussing this. That is why Tulsidas said, hey, between Rama and Ramana, which one is more powerful? Ramana. If you take shelter in Ramana, even if Ram is angry with you also, you need not fear. So, finally, Hanuman realized that no, if my Lord will not win, my Lord will be defamed. Okay. So, he simply folded his hand and kneeled down with that one leg and stretched his tail, understand, around Lord Rama. But Lord Rama felt sore. Oh, he has now fallen down at his feet because now Maya has come. Hanuman has now surrendered. But Hanuman actually has spread his tail around Rama. So that Prakriti's energy will not be able to penetrate Lord Rama. And Lord Rama will not feel like an ordinary human being, because Lord Rama is Lord, and Hanuman wants his Lord to be always in the state of Lord. That is why he is doing this. But Rama is thinking, Hanuman now surrendered. Hanuman, Rama was very happy. Because Kamenang Varaya Namaha, salutation to the Lord who is the instant forgiver. So Rama now suddenly felt love for Hanuman. Hanuman, I am happy with you. Ask me whatever you want. And Hanuman, Lord, spare that one whom I have given shelter. It's a very beautiful story. Very beautiful. This is Satrajit Mani Aranthi. So, I am telling this. That time, in Treta Yuga, air element was controlling the whole universe. And Hanuman is Vayuputra. Hanuman is the son of wind god. Pavanasuta Nandana. Pavanasuta Hanuman ki jai, we are telling. Victory to Lord Hanuman, the son of Pavana, that is Vayu. So, Hanuman only, you see, he simply flew across the ocean. And the whole city of Lanka, he burnt how? By simply jumping from one to one, everything he put fire. Again, he flew back. And look at the Asuras. When they were fighting the gods, on earth, but suddenly they will just go to the space, like the shooting star. And remaining in space, they will bomb these Asuras. Look, read the Ramayana again. You see, when Ravana saw it's difficult to defeat Rama, Ravana used his Puspaka Vimana. And Puspaka Vimana, that is his chariot, is called Puspaka Vimana. And it can move on land, on water, and on air. There will be no pilot there, no chariot there. It moves as per his mind's direction. Mind's direction. And when he found that it is difficult to defeat all the Ramas monkey brigade, he simply became invisible. His chariot went up and from space he simply bombed the carpet bombing of fire weapons. But Rama is walking on the on the ground. Then Rama told what to do. He is not visible, but it's all bombing. That is the time Vibhishana told to Rama, "You are Vishnu. Please ask Indra to give you his chariot." And Rama told, "But he is the king of gods. I am a human being. If I ask, why you will give? No, Lord. You are the Lord of Indra. You are the Lord of heaven. Please go to your state. And you need not ask him. You simply command him." And he commanded, "Indra, send this chariot." And Indra sent the chariot with the charioteer Mathali. And Rama entered the chariot. And now, wherever a Brahman is going, Rama is chasing. The fight is happening in the space. The space war. The space war. Ravana crossed the atmosphere, entered into ionosphere, stratosphere, and Rama also chasing there. So that which was a space war became star war. What these scientists are talking now? What they are talking as great things, our children know it always. Because all the Indian children, they are familiar with this Ramayana story. So nothing new has ever happened, can ever happen. Everything has already happened. So in Treta Yuga, it was air element. Now you come to the Dwapar Yuga. In the Dwapar Yuga, it is the fire element. In Dwapar Yuga, the most enchanting story is how the fire god Agni got the disease called indigestion. Anything you put into the fire, it is burning to ashes. But see, in Dwapar Yuga, Agni himself had this gastric problem. That gastric problem is called Mandagni. Mandagni is, can you Englishly translate it? Manda Agni. Means Agni is not having that power to digest whatever is put into it. That is called Mandagni. When you are having that problem, it is called gastric problem. So Agni was having this problem and he needs to be cured, because if Agni is sick, Agni dwells in every form, so everybody will become sick. Everybody will become sick. Whatever food you cook, that also is carrying that disease. What is the remedy? Remedy is Agni must get medicine. Agni must take medicine to be free from this disease. Look at the profound intellect of Vyasadeva. Namaste te vyasa vishala butte pullar vindayata patranatra. See, profound intellect. How he has put this fundamental wisdom into the story format so that people in Kali Yuga can know it in an enchanting way. So Agni should get medicine. And what is the medicine? To cure the gastric, what is the medicine? Medicine is not any chemical tablet or pill what we are getting nowadays. Medicine is fast medicine. Arjuna said is fast stop eating. What Agni was eating, why Agni got that problem, you know? There was a king, and the king wanted to propitiate the fire god. And he was wanting something very exceptional. And fire god told, "If you can satisfy me in yajna, I will grant you." What is that? In Jagya, the ghee is poured to the fire altar. But Agni is the messenger of gods. Agni dutang bruni mahe hotarang vishvavedasang. Oh Agni, I am now calling you. Why? Because you are the messenger of God. So I offer this to you. But it is not for you, it is for Indra, it is for Varuna, it is for Naita, it is for Ashwini, it is for Vishwadeva, it is for Rudra. Okay. Now he takes everything for others. But what is for him? What is for him? If I send all delicious food in the hands of Vinayama to give to every ashramite, but nothing for her. And she is hungry. But because nothing is given to her, she cannot eat. Agni is Ruta, no? Agni is Satya, truth. So because it is not offered to him, he cannot eat. Clear? He is not like us. That while taking a portion of it, I also eat. Because how can I be hungry? I am carrying the food. I must not be hungry. I am carrying the water. I must not be thirsty. This is Kali Yuga ethics. But it was not Satyajuga Tritajuga ethics. Okay? So Agni Vajja, in Jagya, what they are doing, they will be offering to gods. Our Brahmins also, we are doing that. I brought this reformation, this sanskara. Are first you have to give oblation to a devata called Swahakara. That's why we are doing first Swahakara. Swaha and Swadha. Swaha and Swadha are the two Shaktis of Agni. Like our human beings, we are telling the two wives. Okay? Swaha, then Swadha. Swaha protects Agni's power. Swadha is another Shakti of Agni. And Swadha always wants to be with Agni. Means, I will say, Swadha is Agni's beloved. Whereas Swaha is Agni's, like elder queen, you understand? Swadha doesn't want to be separated from Agni. Always together. Okay. Swaha and Swadha. So, we have to first do Swahakara. There are 10 mantras. After that, you have to first offer the oblation first to Agni. First is Agni because he is Agra Pujya. He is the foremost among gods. He is the first god. All these 5-7 years now, constantly by explaining, by explaining, by explaining. Now we did this Corona virus Jagya. We did the Australia fire Jagya. I had done the Jagya for Napa. Why these became effective? Because more oblation was there for Agni. Less oblation was there for other gods. So this Agni Deva asked to this king, you have to fully fulfill me with the Ajya Huti. This king said, but all the rishis are doing, others are doing. No, nowadays rishis are not doing. Satya Yugare rishis were doing. I was satisfied. Treta Yuga also rishis were doing. Vasishta was there, Vamadeva was there, Arkana was there. But now in Dwapara Yuga, people are now more doing Jagya to get benefit from me, but not giving me. They are giving to all other gods, but very little to me. I'm always remaining hungry. And this king told, I will satisfy you. Agni told, after I am satisfied, then you give to other gods. King told, yes. Now, ovulations were given. Agnaye swaha, agnaye swaha, agnaye swaha for 10,000 years. Clear? And Agni, after Agni, you have to perform oblation for Ashwini. Ashwini is the physician of the gods. Okay. And nothing was offered to Ashwini. And Ashwini got angry. Ashwini balances. Ashwini is the two force. They are always a dual. Okay. Prana and Apana. I'm not going into further detail because these are all very esoteric spiritual things. You won't find it in scriptures. These are all in the Vedas. So Ashwini got angry. Ashwini left Agni. Now, because Agni was taking all this ghee, he could not digest. He could not digest. So indigestion came. That is called Mandagni. So indigestion, what is the best cure for indigestion? First is stop eating what you love to eat. First thing. So Agni told, in that time Agni is already sick. He needs medicine, prescription. And prescription means first pathi. Means pathi means you have to eat what the doctors will give. You cannot eat what you like. And what the doctor Ashwini Kumar gave? All the medicinal herbs. Now, dose also has to be decided depending on the age of the patient. If it is a child, you have to give a child dose. If it is an adult dose. If it is an old man, old dose. So for Agni, the dose was the entire forest of Khandava Vana he has to consume. Because that Khandava Vana, that is protected by Lord Indra. And all the medicinal herbs are there. Everything inside that forest, including plants, animals and birds, everything Agni should eat. Now, Agni said, the moment I will enter there, the first thing is birds will fly. Animals will run away. These snakes and serpents, lizards, they will also go. I cannot get full dose. Because for me to be free from this disease, I should get the total dose. And total dose means everything in that forest must be consumed totally. Who can ensure that? Someone told, there is one person on earth. Who can ensure that? What is that person? Arjuna. Arjuna is an emanation of Lord Krishna himself. He can only ensure this. And that is the time Arjuna, in his banishment, he is doing immense austerity and collecting celestial weapons from all gods in preparation for the fight. So he already has acquired weapon from Lord Shiva, the trident. He already has acquired the weapon from the mother. Okay? And he has already acquired the weapon from Varuna, water god. Now he has to acquire the three more weapons. One from Agni, one from Indra. Okay? Agni and Indra. And then from Jamaraj. So Agni that time went there in the robe of a Brahmin. The belly is very weak, body is there. You understand? He went there and Arjuna is a Kshatriya. He saw a Brahmin. Arjuna got up, TDG, respect, and told, "Oh, great old Brahmin, you seem to be very sick. What is your problem? Can I do anything for you? I'm in the jungle." He told, if you promise, I will tell you. You have the capacity to cure me. And Arjuna took the promise. And Agni told, it will be a very challenging thing. But if you promise and you don't fulfill your promise, then you will be in hell. He told, no, I will never deviate from my promise. So Agni tactfully extracted the promise from Arjuna. Then he revealed his own identity. I told Arjuna, this is my problem. I want to eat the whole Khandava Vana, the Khandava forest, everything I want to eat, leak out. Not even an insect should go out of it. Can we ensure that? Not even an insect can fly out. Arjuna said, yes. Arjuna by that time had acquired one celestial weapon called a Manavedi. With that weapon, he completely created one energy circle around that whole fountain, a whole forest. And you know how big, as per our scripture present day calculation, 12,000 mile radius. 12,000 mile radius, 1,000 yojana, that forest. He insulated so that even air cannot enter. Air cannot enter. And Agni entered and started consuming everything. That is a story in the Mahabharata. So in Dwapara, who are the greatest warrior? Arjuna, not Krishna. There is also an incident when Krishna and Arjuna, they also had a fight. In Treta, there was a fight between Rama and Hanuman. In Dwapara also there is a fight in Krishna and Arjuna won the battle, not Krishna. Always, Bhakta is always greater and more powerful than Bhagavan. That is why I have said, my devotees, my children, they will surpass me. Not only in their realization, but in the perfection of the manifestation. It will happen definitely. If none of you can ensure it, be sure. After you, those who will come, with the help of this knowledge, they will also find how to transcend Prakriti and how to manifest it. Because this is being revealed at this critical time of Kali Yuga's transition. Why? Because Kali Yuga will have several transitions like this. And this knowledge will save humanity in every transition. That is how. All that I am talking, you see, I have to listen myself what I am talking actually. What is coming through me, I am not aware. It is just flowing. So, because this is pure wisdom. It is validated by my own realization. So, the next generation always surpasses in its attainment, in its perfection, than the previous, the preceding generation. It is a natural law. So, Arjuna was the greatest warrior, and what was his power? Fire. And you know, he is the son of Indra. And Indra is the king of gods in heaven. And Indra's celestial weapon is the thunderbolt. Unfailing weapon. And Arjuna is manifestation of fire in a human body. Now, we are in Kali Yuga. Now you see, look at the five Pancha Pandavas. Yudhishthira, who never told a lie in his life. Embodiment of Dharma. Okay? He is Itharal. Bhima. The higher vital force. Embodiment of air. Arjuna. The invincible. He is the embodiment of fire. Then the out of the five Pandavas, two are left. Nakula and Sahadeva. Nakula represents the water element. Nakula represents the water element. Water is all test. All test. Whatever Nakula will prepare, it will be so tasty that even the gods will throw nectar and they want to eat what Nakula has prepared. He was, during the Ajnatavasa, when the Arjuna and Pandava were incognito, he was there. King wanted him to the cook. But then Krishna told, if he will be cooking, when gods will come to eat, so Pandavas will be known, because Nakula has that power. So Bhima was given the duty to be the supakar, to be the cook. Now Sahadeva is earth element. In Kali Yuga, these two elements dominates, taste and earth, is that is clinging, tamasic clinging. Tamasic clinging. So when this the two elements, water element and the earth element. Earth element is clinging, it's like a mud. You throw to the wall, when it's dry, it will fall out, but the stain will remain. This is the reason Prakriti tries every 5,000 years to cleanse the elemental structure, because this pull for a test and this pull for hoarding means accumulating more and more and more and more. When this goes beyond proportion, the elemental equilibrium gets disturbed. Because of these two, man becomes more greedy and man becomes like an eternally hungry animal and wants to eat whatever is available. This present corona originated from China, and where from China? It is not from Beijing. It started from a province called Wuhan, where live animals are sold. If you see the video, I think you cannot take your dinner. You will have so much of a repulsion, what you will see. Nothing on this earth, there is nothing on this earth which the Chinese don't love to eat, except human bodies. Snakes, crocodiles, dogs, monkeys, cats, frogs, lizards, cockroaches. You understand? Everything they want to eat. And that is a market where 362 types of live animals were sold. For what purpose? For the purpose of being cooked and go to the dining table. So, what is this? Taste bud. Excessive pull for taste, water element. and then clinging. In Satya Yuga, you see, nobody was even having any need to store anything. In Treta Yuga, you see, lifespan was 10,000 years. 10,000 years. But nature was still bountiful. Dwapar Yuga, you see. But in Kali Yuga, you see, we are actually producing more food than we can consume. Vishnudas presented that paper, and such a beautiful paper he presented. He has given the total figure. Earth is producing, and it will always produce much more food than man can consume. Because Earth is the mother. Earth is the mother. If the mother has given birth to the 25th child or so during her lifetime, still there will be milk in her breast for the 25th child. A mother will never be dry. So mother Prakriti will never be dry. Enough food is there. But why millions are dying? It is not because there is not enough food on earth. It is because hoarding. It is hoarding. Distribution is defective. So, why in the some particular places food is not grown enough? It is because violation of the elemental principles. So, I am not entering into that part. But excessive use of, too much activation of the water element and the earth element, and abuse of the fire element, sending a rocket to space, flying in an aeroplane, sending space shuttles, these are not abuse, these are use. But launching war, sending missiles, killing human beings. You understand? These are misuse of firepower. Misuse of firepower. And next, making the fire impure. There are mantras in Atharva Veda. It says, I'm translating, O fire god, please withdraw your power from those who are burning living animals in through you. O fire god, please curse those who are doing this, doing that. Now you see, man is supposed to be a vegetarian animal. But majority of human beings are now meat-eating animals. Even in the animal world, there are animals, those who are vegetarians. Look at elephant. It's a vegetarian animal. Elephant, the biggest animal is a vegetarian. So, khadya and khadaka, food, and one who eats the food. There is a balance. Vegetation is there for human beings. Vegetation is this. Human beings are not supposed to eat living beings. That is why there is agriculture, there is horticulture. In the present time of Earth, even if you see the recorded history of the Earth's evolution of the last 2000 years,
history is available for maximum 2000 years. You see, you made a special study and you will see the food habit of this 20th century or 21st century human being has become so nasty. So nasty it is that if the dead body of human beings can be cut and refrigerated and can be sold, I think there will be millions of human beings those who want to eat it. Because they want to eat because it satisfies their taste bud. So, the imbalance, the fire element is impure. Now, look at the ethereal element, the next polluted, most polluted element in the earth at present is the ethereal element, which is supposed to be the most pure. Look at, open the newspaper, all that you will read is all rubbish against someone or something negative has been done somewhere. Clear? Now, watch the conversation of two persons. Rarely people talk with each other with respect and love. Rarely. Either they talk with blaming each other or imposing on each other or cheating each other. Understand? You can rarely find individuals talking with each other and through their talk transmitting truth, love or wisdom. And all these are sound vibration. But in those days, in Satya Yuga, in Treta Yuga, even in Dwapar Yuga, read the Mahabharata, you will see. Before the war starts, all the people in the Kurukshetra battlefield, they will be all sitting to do their Sandhya Vandana. Enemies. Understand? sunrise time, Kaurava armies and Pandava armies, they will all sit in their respective place. They will do Surya Gayatri, they will do Praga Gayatri, Sandhya Vandana, Tarpana. Then they will come out, then they will go to fight. As soon as the sun sets, war finishes. Look, that is why there was no drought, no earthquake, no tsunami, no flood, no tornado. You cannot find the mention of a single tornado or earthquake or flood or drought in those eras. But now, every year it is one part of the world is devastated, either by flood or by tornado or by cyclone or this or that. Why? Because the first element of this universe, ether, that is constantly being vibrated in a negative way. When we talk with each other, we rarely transmit the sound wave of love, respect. And look at this fire element. Look at the water element. When we are talking of a pollution, we are only talking of the surface pollution of a river or ocean. No, that is not pollution. Surface can be cleaned. It is not a big thing. But I am talking the subtle part of the water element, how it is polluted. You cannot cleanse it. The subtle part of the earth element, because it is getting polluted, now no food, no vegetable, no grain is containing the nourishment that it had. My grandfather lived 99 years. I have never seen him taking any vitamin pill. no vitamin pills. What is it that they were eating? Normal food. The hurry, the taste of these vegetables gone. It's gone. Why? Because the earth element is polluted. Because earth element is polluted, human nature has become greedy. Everybody wants to hoard much more than they can really consume. In America, I have seen tons of food just they throw. The one big tar of banana, if there is some little spot, they will throw it. They throw. Fruits, they throw. Tons and tons, they simply throw it. To keep the market price stable, they throw millions of tons of wheat into the Pacific Ocean. Imagine. In India also, what we are doing? 24 million tons of food grain India government is storing in open air, and millions of it is getting rusted, unfit for human consumption. Why this is happening? Because man is not thinking for mankind. Man is thinking only for man. Man is not thinking for the universe. Man is thinking of his four walls. But man is God. Man is God. Man must change his thought pattern. If man can change his thought pattern, this coronavirus can be neutralized in less than 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. I am telling you, we are the 20-30 people are here. I am telling you, this virus cannot enter this campus. Never. Never it can enter. Why? Because you all are remaining in such a heightened state of consciousness. There is no negative anywhere. And this corona is a negative entity. A negative entity can find an entry only if there is a negative energy. But in our campus, there is no negative energy. You understand? Now there is, I think the ashram is in the most harmonious state now. Ask Tulsi, ask Vishnu Priya. When none of you are here, some days there is almost Kurukshetra battle here. If nothing is there, this is Saroja and Lalita will also start fighting with each other. If they will not fight, the monkeys also will fight with each other. Yes or no? It becomes horrible some days. Then I tell you, come, let us come, chant Gita. Because this outer surface disturbance is just a symptom of something subtle disharmony. And I bring everybody, I start coming to the chanting, understand? We chant and say, again everything stumbles. I know the cause. The root cause is this disharmony in the elemental layer of this universe. So what is happening now is nothing new. And now I will take you to a scripture. How, what will be happening in Kali Yuga every 5,000 years if man will not look towards nature, if man will not look towards humanity, this will happen, and this will happen more and more. During the Spanish flu in 1920s, you know how many people died? I was searching this Google search. More than 30 million people died. There is nobody to lift the dead bodies. What is happening now in Italy? Army has been called to lift the dead bodies. And you see, the most developed country of the world is America. America. And in America, I was reading a report, all total, there is a hospital bed for 5 to 7 million people. But the estimate, the way coronavirus is rising, 20 to 30 million people will be need hospitalization. Can any government in the world control this? No government can really control, because it's not within the power of a government. Hospitals, hospital beds, doctors, we have that infrastructure to take care of a normal sickness, normal year. No government can plan. So you cannot blame a prime minister, you cannot blame a president that he has failed. It has taken 200 years of conscious planning and effort for a country like America to create 7 or 8 million people's bed and hospital and ventilator, all that. But if within 2 months, some 20 million people will fall sick, which government can do it? No government can do it. But you see, people have started blaming the government. And it is not the right thing. By blaming a president, by blaming a prime minister, for a problem which is not due to their fault, you are adding more negativism to the consciousness of the earth. So, this is, I am having a book, Kakabhusanda. Kakabhusanda, and now I am just reading 1-2 pages because we have already time. So, Kakabhusanda, I will begin another time, but I am telling what about Kali Yuga. What Kakabhusanda has said, I am telling you. And who is Kakabhusanda, all that, we will do some other time, because we have already started a big scripture. That is it. Which Gita? That is Ashtavakra Gita. So this is Kakabhusanda. You see, in Kali Yuga, all the scriptures are said, people will be completely Veda Virodhi, means they will be against true knowledge. Men and women, they will forget their own nature. Women will want to do all that human men want to do, and men will want to do what women normally does. The people will be so egoistic and adamant that each one will feel and think and act as if he is the wisest man. Among the 4 ashramas, brahmacharya, grihastha, manprastha, sannyasa, not a single ashram will maintain its original purity. Brahmins in Kali Yuga will chant the mantras only for getting money. The rulers in Kali Yuga will constantly invent different ways how to rob the common man from his hard earned wealth. Mithya, that is a falsehood. To propagate falsehood and to boost their individual ego, people will change the meaning of the scriptures and give commentary in a way that will sweet their hypocritic life. Those who can amass wealth by any means, they will be the respected people in society. Those who can change their robe and not cut their hairs or nails, they will be respected as saints. ଏହି ଯୁଗରେ ସନ୍ଥ ହେବାକୁ ହେଲେ ଖାଲି ବେଶ ବଦଳେଇ ଦେବାର ଅଛି। ଲମ୍ବା ଲମ୍ବା ଜଟ ଓ ବଡ଼ ବଡ଼ ନଖ ରଖି ଘରୁ ବାହାରି ଆସିଲେ ସେମାନେ ତପସ୍ୱୀ ହୋଇଯିବେ। ଆଣ୍ଡ ଡୁ ୟୁ ନୋ ହୁ ୱିଲ୍ ବି ରେସ୍ପେକ୍ଟେଡ୍ ଆଜ୍ ଏ ଗୁଡ୍ ଓରେଟର୍ସ ଇନ୍ କଳିଯୁଗ? ଦୋଜ୍ ହୁ କ୍ୟାନ୍ ଓନ୍ଲି speak without ever mentioning anything about a scripture. The Sudras will give advice to the Brahmins. Brahmins will perform puja after judging how much money they are going to get from the judgment. Men will marry men, women will marry women. The Shishyas, the disciples, will expect the Guru to render physical service to them. So, mane this is it. And frequently there will be earthquake, flood, tsunami, pestilence. The number of diseases will be always on the rise. And at the end of every 1,000 years, one endemic will happen where millions will die. Barambar akal pade, there will be frequent drought. People in Kali Yuga will die in thousands without getting food. When tons of foodstuff will be thrown outside in the name of storage. Everyone will forget japa, tapa, jagya, vrata, dana. The women will not like to have ornaments on their body. They want to be like men. And the adolescent young people would decorate their bodies like women. So, what is happening? 5,150 years after the withdrawal of Lord Krishna from earth, there shall be an invisible entity, a bhutanu. That is, bhutanu means virus, na? Virus. That will come from north of the Himalayas, that is China, and millions will die. When the Atma leaves the body, in a human being, there is Atma. It is called Jivatma. But in all other bodies, it is called Bhutatma. Bhutatma. And now this virus is called Bhutanu. It is not Jivanu. In Jivanu, in that Anu, there is Jivan Shakti. There is life force in that particle. But in Bhutanu, in virus, there is no life force there. So this Bhutanu cannot be controlled by any medication. You cannot kill it. It can only be neutralized by vibration, not by medication. And the vibration, because it is a negative energy, it can be repelled only by invoking positive energy, positive vibration. This is the reason. Look at our Modi ji, what he told on 22nd March. Remain in your balcony and do clapping, blow the conch and beat the drums. Why in our temples, even in our houses, why you blow conch? Because that conch dhwani, that drum beating, it creates vibration in the etheral plane. Because of that vibration, many viruses, they are repelled. They run away. This is the scientific. What is the Veda mantra? Mantra is only a vibration. And it has to be chanted in a specific rhythm. Then only the effect is coming. Like if the child knows how to ask the mother, so that the mother will definitely give. The child does that. But as the child grows old, the child forgets this natural quality. And instead of manipulating the vibration of the mother, the child is now trying to manipulate the mind of the mother. And the mother is more intelligent than the child. Mother knows the child should not eat at this time or should not eat this thing. But the child has lost that capacity. When the child was a baby, mother was taking 100% care. When the child should eat, what should eat, how much the child should eat. But when the child is becoming older, mother is not taking that interest. Rather, if the child is asking, now give me food, mother, no, this is not food time, go and do your homework. See, the same person. Why? Because the child loses its natural state of sending the signal to the mother within. The mind of the child is now asking to the mind of the mother. And the mind of the mother is more expanded than the mind of the child. So mother knows whether it is a true appetite or a false appetite. This is how it happens. We have to simply go back to the root. Deep contemplation and a profound observation of the functioning of prakriti and the functioning of the inner state, you can bring harmony. If that can be ensured, corona cannot enter into your system.